Dick Schofield Sr., interview part 3 of 3.
So I go to spring training, and that's when they had the strike. You know, the season didn't start.
It was 12 games or something. Yeah,
it was quite a while. But they, you know, in spring training, Gristle called me in his office and he said, "I think you're in trouble." And I said, "What do you mean? What do I do?" And he said, "Well, there's going to be a strike." And he said, you're going to get released." And that's what they released me. And I couldn't do nothing because everybody was, they didn't know how long it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or what they was going to do with players.
So it was just bad timing.
So I hung around there until the season started and nothing happened. And I called, I don't know, I bet you I called 10 clubs. And they all said the exact same thing. "We don't know how long this strike's going to go. And we can't make any, whether we want you or don't want you, we can't really make any commitment." So I said, "Well, I'm going home." So I went home and I stayed there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you had done so much traveling. It was probably, a good thing in a way that you were with your family, so much. I know that, how dedicated you were to your family.
Yeah, well, I mean, you asked a question about when I knew I'd slowed down.
Yeah.
It was in spring training with Milwaukee that year. That would have been the
72.
Before the 72 season.
Yeah.
Like I can remember playing in a game, you play B games so the pitchers can get work in. And I remember a guy hit a ground ball to my left up the middle. And I didn't catch the ball. And that was really my strength. I could go to my left for a long way and catch ground balls and throw people out. Well, I didn't catch the ball, and I thought to myself, "Dick, you got to catch that ball." And I just kind of stuck with me that, I felt like I wasn't moving too good. And I guess I was 38, I think. Mm-hmm. But it was just we wasn't getting to play in spring training, so I wasn't getting to play. I was just there. And so I said, this not going to work. I know it's not going to work because they're going to have a strike and all that. I mean, I tried to think of things, but there was nothing I could do. I could have went and managed. I mean, but seeing those days, I mean, the two offers they gave me were pretty decent as far as, Texas League and managing, coaching a college team. Mm-hmm. Was probably been a pretty good deal, but I just wasn't ready to, the money wasn't that good back in those days. Because Pittsburgh called me, they called me for 5 or 6 years after that. They call and say,
"To manager, coach, you mean?
You want to manage this year in the minor leagues?" And I say, "Well, how much are you going to pay me?" And they'd tell me, and I'd say, "Well, when I come home, I'd have to get another job. I'd have to work for somebody." So I just I went to work for a company in a couple of years after I got out, and I worked with them for about 23 years. So it worked out probably better for me by going doing what I did.
Well, the fact that they kept contacting you, that was quite a nice compliment that valued your baseball knowledge.
Yeah, I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't make any money at doing it, so I couldn't just leave home. And you take your family with you and all that, but by the time you get paid for your living place and all this kind of stuff and the traveling back and forth, well, you're breaking even, so that's not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I just decided to stay home, and I got a pretty good job, and I stayed there for a long time. So it worked out pretty good, I think.
So
I mean,
when you look at it in the long term, do you think it was the right thing to do then?
Yeah, I think I did the right thing. I would have stayed in baseball if I could have made any money, but they didn't pay nothing. So I just had to.
Dick Jr. and Jason made up for whatever money they didn't pay you then.
Dick's been with, he's been with the Angels, and he's with Arizona 1 year, and he's been with Cincinnati about 8 years now. He's managed, and they pay pretty good now. I mean, it's completely different. It amazes me. They sign guys in the big leagues. They give a guy $5 million, and I'm not too sure he can play. I don't care. I mean, more power to them. Make all the money they want. I don't care. But it's just kind of, why didn't they do this about, 20 years before I quit?
Yes, right. That'd
have been pretty nice. But I don't know. Overall, I can't complain. I think things worked out pretty good. I'm getting older now, and it's kind of tough to, remember everything. But
are you kidding? You've brought up your stories were wonderful. This has been great. I've enjoyed every minute of this, and there's no problem with your memory.
No, my memory's pretty good.
I did want to ask you, we didn't really talk about we talked about some of the managers you worked for, but Danny Murtaugh, I wanted to get your recollections on him.
Murtaugh was a good guy. In fact, he was a real nice guy, and I liked Danny, and he always treated me well, and he was liked by, I think, most of the players, I'm sure. And he was well-liked in Pittsburgh. So he was a good guy. I mean, I just to cut it down, Walter Austin was great to me. Uh-huh. I mean, I liked him. He was good. Herman Franks with the Giants was good.
Oh,
And that was in 65.
Yes.
The only manager, I had two managers I would never want to play for, and that's Eddie Casco and Harry Walker at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Harry Walker.
Yeah. I mean, they, I don't care. I mean, I did not like them, and it's that simple. Yeah. I did not like them. I'm not saying they're bad guys.
Oh no,
because I know Casco was not a bad guy, what he did to me was he ruined my year, and Harry Walker was he was no good. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I could say a lot. I could say a lot more, but I thought he was a. I thought he was a bad individual, and everything else I could say, that's what I think about him. So,
the only thing I can think of that he did that was a benefit for the Pirates anyway was he took Matty Alou under his tutelage, and he turned him into a 300 hitter. That's the only thing I could think of that he did in a positive way. Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, I just I he might have done that, but as far as I'm concerned, he I mean I didn't like I just didn't like the things he said or things he done. I don't think he was a good individual,
Yeah,
and
well,
I don't know that much about him, but in the World Series, he bunted with a man on second base to get a base hit instead of trying to drive the guy in. So I don't think he's got guts. That's just plain English.
yeah, sure.
But some people might like him. I don't think he. I don't think you know. I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to say any more about him.
Okay, I wanted to ask you. You know, you've played for a lot of really great teams. Who would you say was your favorite team of all to be on, play on, and be a member of?
Well, 1960 Pirates. You just can't beat that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, they hadn't won in 33 years,
Oh, yeah.
and you got they're drawing 1,700,000
I don't think
people
they're
here.
ever going to take another championship the way things are going. I don't know if you follow the Pirates anymore,
Yeah,
but
I watch games, and I don't know, they got a beautiful ballpark.
they sure do, yeah.
That's a beautiful ballpark, but no, the 60 Pirates, I mean, you can't. Then I think probably the 68 Cardinals might have been the best team I ever played
Oh,
on,
yeah, I can see that.
because you got Gibson and Carlton and Bryles and Dick Hughes. I mean, you got great pitching, and then you got Brock and Flood and Maris, and
Oh
you
yeah,
got
that's right. You played with Roger Maris.
yeah
Yeah. What? How was he to play with?
he's a super guy.
Yeah.
We lived together next, well, not together, but we had a townhouse that was connected. I mean, there was two of them, and he had five kids and I got three, and he had two boys almost about Dick's age, and one was the same age, and one was a year older or something. And those kids were in and out of the house because they had two girls, and so did we. So you couldn't tell who was who. They just open the door and come in. So, but Roger Maris is a good guy. I mean, he was just a good guy. I mean, he's no different than somebody next door that
Yeah.
come and sit down and talk to you.
Well,
And
he had trouble with that that media swarm in New York. I
oh
think it
yeah,
was just
well, see, they
overwhelming.
wanted Mantle to hit the 61 home run.
Yeah.
That's obvious. I mean, every person in New York wanted him to do that. But that's I don't know. It's well, that's one of the greatest stories ever. When Mantle played with the Yankees, I went to Roger's golf tournament, and this guy came. And when Roger Maris was playing for the Yankees, this guy was about 10 years old, a little rat running around the ballpark, sneak in, run around, and he's always hollering, "Hey, Roger, give me a bat, give me a bat." And he said, "When you break a bat, will you give it to me?" And Roger said, "Okay, just, really it was batting practice." So the kid listened to the ball game, and I guess he had Roger Maris posters all over his room. That's all he had, because he wanted somebody in the Yankees. He wanted to be his favorite player, and everybody liked Mantle, or they
Yeah.
liked Ford, or somebody. But they, so he chose Maris. So he listened on the radio, and the guy on the radio said Maris swings and he breaks his bat, pops up. So this kid's at the ballpark the next day, hollering, "Hey, you broke a bat. Where can I have it? Can I have it?" And I don't know whether, I don't know if he gave even a bat or not. So anyhow, this is, you know, now this kid Maris is, he gets traded, you know, and stuff. All of a sudden, this kid, he goes off to college. And he's in Cincinnati. And the Pirates, I mean, the Cardinals go to Pittsburgh to open the season. So he tells his buddies that, I think he went to the University of Akron, and he told his buddies, he said, hey, Roger Maris is my buddy. And they said, all of them said, you don't know Roger Maris. He said, well, let's go to Pittsburgh, and I'll prove it to you. So they go to Pittsburgh, and they go down by the dugout. The guys are warming up for the game, and this kid's name's Andy. And he hollers, hey, Roger, and how are you? And Roger turns around and he says, hey, Andy, how you doing?
Oh.
And all these guys, they say, you're kidding. And they said, no. So now the game starts. The game starts, and it's April the 9th. Roger Maris wears number 9, plays right field, which is a nice position on the team. He hits a home run. This kid is sitting in row 9, seat 9, and he catches the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
He catches the ball. Now then, he tells this story, and he's got people, he's actually got people crying. I mean, he tells it. He goes into detail about, you know, how much he likes Roger Maris, and, you know, I mean, I couldn't believe this. I don't know how old this guy would have been. I mean, when I went to that Rogers golf tournament, I was probably only 40, so this guy would have been, you know, he would have been, well, I might have been 50. So this guy might have been 40 then. And I guess he's told that story many places because it's, I mean, he can tell the story because it happened to him. But now there's some good stories and gosh, Dennis, I just, you know, like I say, most of the guys you play with, they're good guys, I would say.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I don't know what guys are like, and I have no idea. I mean, when you make as much money as some of these guys do, I don't know. You don't need too many friends.
No, I mean, I don't think they're very approachable to fans or anything.
No, I don't think so either. So,
yeah.
But it's. I don't know. It's still me. I guess I still like baseball.
So, growing up, your favorite player was Ted Williams, would you say?
Yeah.
And you got a chance to get to know him a little then too, right? Or did you?
No,
ever,
I
like spring training.
I just met him one time with a group of guys was talking to him. Just shook his hand, introduced yourself, and I would have given anything to be able to talk to him one-on-one, just to, you know, probably say something stupid. But when I was a kid, I used to get my mom and dad, we'd get the schedule, and we'd go to St. Louis when they was playing the Browns, and so it'd be a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Wanted to ask you, you know, we were talking about the, you know, the different places you played. What was your favorite city to play in?
Well, of course, I mean, I like Pittsburgh because it was like, I don't know, a lot of good things happened in Pittsburgh, but Boston's really a good place to play. And St. Louis is a good place to play.
Sure.
That's a good baseball town.
Yeah. Well, that was a
but,
sportsman's
you know,
park, the old sportsman's park.
But San Francisco was hard to play in because
yeah.
we played in Candlestick Park. And
it's
that was
windy.
Just
cold.
That was cold and nasty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Chicago was a good place to go play, Wrigley Field. I mean, I enjoyed playing in Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
But that was always, I never minded that. I don't know. It's just like anything else. If you're going pretty good, I don't think you know where you're playing.
Yeah.
You just play.
Well, as a fan, I love Forbes Field, the ivy on the walls and stuff. And they still have a couple walls standing there. And
yeah,
last time
I
went and, they have the 476 mark. And, it's
I think they got the home plate. It's in the building.
It
or
is.
Something.
It's in the Hillman Library there. Yeah. Because I went to the University of Pittsburgh. I remember when they were, I started going to college there after they had torn it down. But PNC is a beautiful park now. I think it's one of the better ones.
I think it's the best one.
Do you? Oh, wow.
No, it's. I mean, to me, it's. Of course, I haven't been to some of the others, but that I've been back to Pittsburgh a few times, and that thing just seems it's so neat to look over the center field fence and you see the whole downtown.
My gosh, it's a beautiful view. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a good field, and I like to see Pittsburgh have a little better teams because people of Pittsburgh, they'll come out if you play well. I mean, they'll do that. So I don't know. I think
they're a small market, though. They can't afford these big contracts.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're gonna.
Yeah,
I mean, they have anybody good there? Got like Garrett Cole. They let him go.
Yeah,
they keep him and Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, sometimes these teams, they buy the players and it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So, I don't
I wanted to ask you, like an all-time team, could we run through, positions and tell me who you think your favorite or your favorite or who you thought was the best player, like at catcher, for instance?
Let's see. If we go to catching, I guess you go to Johnny Bench.
Oh, yeah. And
third base, you'd probably go with Mike Smith. I don't know. I mean, there's other guys I know that shortstop, you probably, and let's see, second base, second base, you could say Sandberg, but Sandberg, defensive-wise, he was about one-tenth as good as Mazurowski.
Oh, yeah. I remember somebody saying Maz had a glove that really didn't have any padding in it, and all he would do is...
No, it was just a little tiny glove.
Yeah, a little tiny glove.
He just had good... His hands were exceptionally good. Who would be the first baseman? I don't know. First baseman would be let's see. I could put Musial in left field or first base, I guess. I mean,
sure.
I'd put Willie Mays. And you got to put Mano and Mays in there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shortstop, I don't know. Maybe you put in Ozzie Smith at shortstop.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh.
He could field. Early on, he wasn't a very good player, but he became a super player. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out at first base who the first baseman would be. My heavens! That's almost impossible. I mean, I'm talking about guys I played with. So
yes, of course.
I'm not trying to work in guys that are playing now, because
No, I
you have to consider Trout. I mean,
sure.
he's, but let's see, who would be the first baseman? Who in the heck would be the best first baseman? Help me out. Who's a
Okay. Well, Cepeda, McCovey, those are who did see we had Skowron in New York.
I guess maybe you might put McCovey in
Klizuski,
there.
did you ever see Klizuski play?
Oh yeah, but yeah, but Big Mac hit a lot of home runs, and he was pretty good. Yeah, I at second base, I could say a lot of people pick Sandberg because he hit so well,
Yeah,
but
he did. Yeah.
of course I'm a little prejudiced. I mean, I would take him out in about the fourth inning and put in Mazeroski for defense. I mean,
Sure.
I don't know how you do that, but pitching wise, I think you'd probably definitely be Koufax and Koufax and Gibson. That'd be my two
Yeah.
pitchers, I think.
And if you had to pick
Yeah.
a relief pitcher or closer?
Yeah, relief pitcher. Let's see who that'd be. Yeah, boy. Of course, see, you didn't have. It wasn't quite as specialized. I mean, Face did it all the time, and there were certain guys, but Wilhelm was. He was pretty dominant, I think. I don't know if he. I can't remember how, but yeah, he was awful good. Yeah, Wilhelm would have been pretty good reliever, I think. I don't even know what his record would be as a reliever, but I mean, oh, I mean, no, I got to put Ted Williams on this
Oh,
team.
sure, Ted Williams, yeah.
Ted Williams has got to play.
He's in left
Ted
field.
Williams, yeah, I put Musial at first base. I
Okay,
take
there we
Musial.
go.
I take Musial at first
He played
base.
as much first base as he did outfield, I think.
Yeah, I just that guy, he could hit, and plus he just yeah he could run the bases, and he could do a lot of things that people don't know
I'm
that he
sure.
could do.
Oh, how about
But
Gil
yeah,
Hodges?
no, I don't think Gil Hodges. I mean, he was a good player, but I don't think he was a.
Yeah.
I mean he yeah Gil Hodges hitting six at Brooklyn was devastating. I mean,
Sure.
that team, they knocked the numbers off the scoreboard, man. That was a they had a team that was that with they just had a lot, a bunch of good players,
You
good
know, in my
pitchers there.
study, I've been doing a lot of research, and I really enjoy the older games and the generation players, and I always thought Mickey Vernon was from everything I understood, I wish I
Oh.
could have seen him, but he was a really great
Oh.
first baseman.
Oh, he could hit too.
Yeah.
See, I mean, that's like I named Mike Schmidt. Well, I didn't really play with Mike Schmidt. He's like kind of out of my cat, out of my I'm trying to think who would be a
Oh,
who
Brooks
would be a
Robinson.
who?
Brooks Robinson.
There you go. That's who I'd put in.
Yeah.
That's who exactly I'd put in. Yeah, he was because Mike Schmidt was a completely different player than Brooks
Oh,
Robinson.
sure.
Brooks Robinson saved your runs. The other guy drove in runs. So I mean, it was two different type players. But I mean, all depends on your team. I mean, if Brooks Robinson was on a team, he had Boog Powell
Yeah, and
and
Frank Robinson too.
oh well Frank I mean Frank Robinson, it's pretty tough to keep him off this team too.
Yeah. This is a
I
great
mean
list. This is a you come
yeah
up with a really good one.
Frank Robinson could
Oh, and how
play.
about Clemente?
There you go. I mean, how can you do it? I don't know how
Yeah,
you
you
do it.
can't. That's it's
I mean
impossible. And we
you
didn't
say
even like Ernie Banks. We didn't talk about him.
yeah, well, see, I don't. I mean, well, I don't think Ernie Banks was as good as these guys.
Oh, okay.
And when you're talking about
overall, all around.
Visual and maze.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just think you, well, Clemente was, I don't know, he was awful good.
You
He
know, I remember
so.
seeing him hit balls that, honest to God, I don't know what they were. There was no strike zone for them. He just, it was like Yogi Berra was that way. He'd hit
Yeah.
balls anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, it's kind of fun to try to figure out some of these things, but yeah, it's hard to pick a team. I don't think it's possible. I mean,
No, it's not.
you have to pick them by guys you like.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, to me, Mays would be a, he would just be a, Ted Williams, to me, Ted Williams was the greatest hitter that ever lived.
Sure. Hank Aaron, we didn't put him on there.
Yeah, well, how can you can't
Yeah.
believe that. You got to play these guys 3 innings at a time, I guess. You got so many guys. Yeah,
You have 20 guys
Hank
out in the
Aaron.
outfield.
Hank Aaron could play. I mean, he and we. And I tell you, Eddie
Eddie
Matthews could play
Matthews,
third
yeah.
base
Good third
too,
baseman.
and he could hit
Yeah.
some home runs.
Yeah, he
But
could.
it's just hard to. It's hard to, you know. I don't know. It's that's impossible.
You
We
know,
can't do that.
I found on the YouTube, I don't know if you ever go to YouTube or not, but I found a wonderful resource. There's a bunch, I think there's like 300 or 400 games, radio broadcasts of games all the way from 1935 on up. And I know when I'm working outside, I listen to them. They're podcasts. And also there's a lot of videos that they have of older games. You
Yeah.
can find there's an awful lot. There was I watched a game the other day from 1965. It was Jim Bunning against for the Phillies, and they were playing Larry Jackson and the Cubs. And you know,
Okay.
the biggest thing I notice on, I don't know if you would pick up on this too, but you know, the pace of the game is so much different now. Those guys, you know, the older games, they would get up. And you know the pitcher would you know pitch the ball, and there wasn't any fooling around or you know taking time up to
No,
adjust your gloves and you know
yeah.
your.
You played a lot of games in 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Now it's 3 hours and 20 minutes.
I was going to ask you what would you if you were commissioner for a day what, or you had the ability what would you change in the game to make it quicker?
No, I don't know. I just think that the pitcher, I mean, some of these pitchers, they throw the ball and they walk around the mound, and I think they can make the pitcher throw the ball within, a little bit quicker. I mean, that would help.
Yeah,
And of course, you got to remember, well, most of the games they got commercials. They got these 2 minute commercials, so they can't start an inning until that commercial's over.
sure.
So all that stuff, but I don't know. I mean, it's just these guys, they take longer to get ready to hit with batting gloves and all that kind
Well,
of
some of them
stuff.
have
And
their theme songs. The players have
oh, that's and see, I think when a guy wears a pad around his arm, he's got a thing around his ankle. I think when if he gets a base hit, I think he has to leave him on. You don't call time.
Right, to
You
take
don't
them
call
off.
time. And another thing I don't like, I mean, I don't care if you're a Jap or what you are. They got an interpreter. I think if you're in the big leagues and you can't speak English, that's tough stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
you got to figure your way out to talk to him.
Sure.
You don't need an interpreter and take another 10 minutes to talk to him. So
Yeah.
I don't like that, and I don't know. I just don't
Well,
like.
even a you know, there's a thing I find that really annoys me. I don't know what you think about it, but like their players' pants, they go all the way down to their shoes, and it looks sloppy. You know, it's like whenever I see someone wearing wearing their socks, you know, the stirrups.
Look like they got pajama pants on.
Yes, yes, they're sloppy.
And I just think the National League ought to go to the designated hitter and forget about it. I mean, whether you like it or not, I just think both leagues should be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I think it's silly to have one league one way and one league another.
Well, they're playing it now then this year, right? The DH is in the National League this year?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, they're playing like they always have.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know, you know, what they're doing. But it's, you know, I don't know. I just think if you go to see the ball game, you don't keep time. You watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it lasts half hour longer? I mean, it's whatever the reason. I mean, you went there, you didn't go there to hurry home.
That's true. You know, we have a ball club here in Binghamton. It's a double A club. It's the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. They're a Mets double A team, and it's an awful lot of fun watching games here. You know, it's really different than when when I go to PNC Park and there's no peanut heaven here. Every seat's good in this house. You know.
Yeah, they got. Double A is where usually your best young players are.
Yeah, we saw Peter Alonso. He was here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's where you have your those guys are in Double A are usually they might a lot of those guys skip Triple A and go right into the big leagues.
The guys that are Triple A,
a lot of them have been to the big leagues and they come back down. They go up and down, up and down. And they eventually don't make it, and they quit.
Mm-hmm.
But Double A players, as soon as a pitcher gets enough work and they figure he's ready, they take a lot of guys out of Double A right through to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it is, I think.
Dick, I wanted to ask you about your World Series ring. It was there was an article I found where it was stolen, and then that you got it back.
Somebody broke in my house. They stole my TV set, my World Series ring was sitting right back on my nightstand. It was sitting there. It was right in broad daylight. It was the only thing there. I mean, it stuck out like a thumb. So the guy just took that, and he went over. Right by a shopping center, not too far from where I live, like 5 minutes at the most. And I guess he sold it to the guy. And I think the guy in the pawn shop tried to sell it too, because he didn't call me. He didn't call me for 3 days. And I called the detectives that checked my house and that. And they said, well, you meet us there, like it was Saturday morning, and you don't say a thing. You don't even just stand there. And they walked in and told that guy, do you have the ring? And he said, yes. And they said, go get it. Hand it to him. And he handed it to me, and they told me to go outside. And pretty soon they come out, so it's taken care of. So, it was like more luck than sense. Yeah, so it was just one of those weird things. But the guy, I don't know, I guess that's a big thing, breaking in. And they steal like TVs right away. And any kind of, if you got a computer or stuff like that, they'll steal that right away. And then they look for jewelry.
Well, your area's pretty safe, though, isn't it?
I mean, it's just they did it in I think it was like 1 o'clock or something like that in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there was two of them, two white guys,
wow.
And they didn't catch them. But I mean, the guy in the pawn shop, he said, yeah, I got a security system that changes every 24 hours. So they had, I mean, when they come in, I mean, they got pictures of the two guys right there at the counter. Well, but they don't have it. I mean, it won't last for 24 hours. This guy, running the pawn shop, was worse than the guys that stole it. I mean, he was, you could tell he was a crook. I mean,
oh, gee.
You know. Yeah.
So he, you still have it then?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I wanted to we're getting toward the end here, so I know I've kept you over 2 hours, and this has been a fantastic interview. Just wanted to say, we talked about, do you still see any former teammates?
Well, not so much now. I used to keep in touch with Joe Gibbon. He was my roommate at Pittsburgh. And after I got out, we used to go back to Pittsburgh about every 5 years.
Yeah.
So I'd see all those guys on the 16th because they'd have something every 5 years.
Yeah, were supposed to have something this year, with the COVID, I guess they had to cancel it.
Yeah, that was last year.
Did you go or yeah? I mean,
but they didn't have it.
They didn't have it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I just don't know if I even want to travel now. I just don't. I don't know if I had somebody, if I knew for sure, I could maybe try to get somebody to come with me. But I just don't want to do it by myself anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd come back or not. You know, that's
sure.
How I feel about it.
Do your kids? Any of your children live close to you?
Yeah, I mean, my two daughters live here.
Okay.
In fact, I just sold my house just in end of December.
Oh.
And my daughter's got a house, got her own house, and then they got a great big outbuilding. It's like, it's huge. It's like 45 by 85. It's a huge building. And at one end of this building, this guy that built this house, he built like an apartment on there. I got a kitchen, a great big living room, a huge bedroom, big closet, and a bathroom. And I'm about 100 feet from her house.
And, wow.
And so they told me, they said, well, why don't you sell your house and just move in here?
Yeah.
So I sold my house and I moved in there, and I brought some stuff that was mine, and I sold a bunch of stuff, and I can come and go as I please. I got my own car, and I can come and go as I please. But a lot of times she'll just say, hey, come over. We got supper. I got plenty. I go over and I eat with her and her husband.
Oh, man. That is great.
It is great because I really don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about, there's nothing I have to do except take care of myself.
Yeah.
Just lately I've been feeling pretty bad lately. I've had, don't know what the hell is the matter with me, but I was in the hospital for about 10 days and wasn't sure what was the matter, and they finally decided, you know, that I have a valve in my heart that, because of age, it's narrowed, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. Anyhow, I've taken the same test, and they say, well, we can't really tell what's causing this.
Hmm.
What's causing you not to feel good? And then you feel good. And I said, well, I have no idea, but I just felt bad. I didn't want to eat. I couldn't sleep. So I just was messed up. So I've been going to doctors now for, seems like every day I go to a doctor, and they gave me some different pills and they seem to be doing okay. And I got to do that. I got to do a test next Tuesday, mm-hmm. and they're gonna do. I mean, I don't know what kind of test it is. Find out if this valve, if they figure that it needs to be opened, or they'll go in there, and it's just a procedure. You stay overnight in the hospital and go home the next day.
Yeah.
So but what's so strange? Then the other day, I go see this heart doctor, and I said, "Well, I got something wrong with." I said, "My back is hurting, and my right arm is hurting so bad." I said, "It's just throbbing." And I said, "And then it goes down my left arm." And she said, "Well, I can't help you in here," but she says, "You're going to emergency right now."
Hmm.
So I go down. They take me to emergency. And to make a long story short, I didn't take my medicine because I felt so bad in the morning that was the last thing I was worried about. Well, my heart count, if I don't take my medicine, my heart count, it goes all over.
Hmm.
And when I take the medicine, my heart count's perfect. I mean, it's just like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So anyhow, they give me the medicine in the hospital. And then the guy comes in and he says, "Well, hell, there's nothing wrong with your heart." He says, "You got something wrong. You got a nerve in your back of your neck or something that's causing this pain and everything." So
wow.
I don't know what it is. And it's gone. But it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad that you couldn't sleep because it just kept pound on you.
Oh, so that must have been very scary.
Yeah, I haven't felt good, off and on since for about 2 months.
Yeah.
But
You sound good. I mean, you sound good.
Yeah. I feel fine now. I don't know. But they're good. They're trying to look at this thing and see if it's working okay. Then that's one thing. I mean, it's either go or don't go. There's no maybes in between.
Mm.
If they say you better have this done, which is a simple procedure, you should have it done, and no other way around it.
Mm.
And then I'm just kind of going back and forth to the doctor, and if I get this straightened out, I should be okay, because I've never been sick. I mean, you know, I'm not sick. I mean, this situation is whatever it is. It's kind of messed me up to a point where I don't know. But right now, last week or so, I've been fine. So
that's good.
Hangs in there.
Yeah, and it's fortunate you're so close to your daughters now too.
Yeah, well, she helps me out a lot. I mean, it's really when she's in my sick supper a lot of times. There's extra there. I mean, it's not like I'm cooking for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. So
mm-hmm.
it saves me from fixing something like for the eat or going someplace and getting something. So it's really been good. So I don't know.
Where's Dick Jr.? Where's he living now?
He lives in the Ozarks.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. I think he'll be moving back this way.
Yeah.
I think that's what he kind of plans on doing.
Do you think do you think he'd be interested in sitting for an interview like this, for one of these audio interviews?
Yeah, he might do it. I don't know why not. I don't know. Of course, he's in spring training.
Oh, sure. I mean, I
and he's going to be at Daytona Beach, so
mm-hmm.
that's where he's going to be this year.
Yeah,
he's been all over, so he's going to be pretty busy till the season's over.
Sure.
But when the season's over, you could call him. We could try to set up a time with him or something.
That'd be great. I don't know if you'd want to join him. You know, it'd be wonderful to have both of you on. But yeah, I'd love to talk to him. But yeah, we'll wait till after the season, if you're okay.
Yeah, he don't say much, so he's pretty quiet.
Well, I'm glad that wasn't the case this time, because you were great. So I just have two more questions here, and I know this is getting to be a long interview. What would you do if you had anything to do differently in your career? What would you have done differently?
Well, I probably would have raised more hell and got traded. I would have went in and insisted when I was at Pittsburgh after the 60 season. I should have just went in. I should have raised hell and just said, it's not that I don't want to be here, but it's just, I don't want to be here. And I send me any place.
Yeah.
I think that's what I don't know if it would have done me any good, but they might, back in those days, he might not even talk to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, he might have told me to get out of his office and go to the clubhouse and get dressed.
Was Joe Brown, was he a difficult guy to deal with for you?
Yeah, he wouldn't give me any money.
Yeah.
But he was, I liked him. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought he was a pretty nice guy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give any money. I mean, they didn't pay you for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Red Sox are the best.
They were the best organization, you think, that you played for?
Yeah, they back in those days, the Red Sox were by far probably the best paying team of anybody.
Hmm.
Yeah, I made more money in 2 years with the Red Sox than I ever made. And then when I went to the Cardinals, I said, well, you're making pretty good money. Well, I said, I want the same money I got in Boston.
Did they give it to you?
They gave it to me, but they didn't want to.
Yeah.
But that was in, that would have been in 71. Yeah, so, but, Boston paid just real good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a good place to play.
Well, this last question I have, I think I may know the answer, but I'll ask you anyway. Who was the most influential person in your life?
My dad.
Yeah. When did he pass away?
Let's see, 91.
91, and he lived a good long life?
He was 86.
86. Oh, that's
same as me.
Same as you. Well, you're going to stick around for a while.
You haven't
officially retired yet, have you? I mean, they can always give you a call.
For what they make nowadays, I'd show up.
That's great. Yeah.
But it's just. I would say my dad definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, this has just been a great, fantastic interview. I've enjoyed every second of this. And,
I hope so. I'm glad, and I hope I did what you wanted, okay?
Oh, I did, and I'm putting together a sort of a biography, which I'll send to you. I was going to try to have it before the interview, but I couldn't quite get it done. So,
if you have any questions, you call me back.
Okay. Yeah, that's a deal.
No, I mean, you call me back at night. I'm usually here.
Okay.
And I don't mind talking to you. I mean, we don't have to talk this long, but
oh, no.
you got No, but if you got something you want to ask me, I don't mind at all, because
Okay.
it's kind of fun to go back and remember
It
things. So
is, it
I don't.
is.
Okay, well, I did too. I appreciate you calling me. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye-bye.